Welcome, I'm Ryan Hicks, and this is Modern Business, the podcast to learn from franchise business leaders and explore new business technology. Our community is about sharing knowledge and tools that help us achieve our goals in business and beyond. Thanks for being here, and welcome to Modern Business.
Welcome back, everybody, to Modern Business Podcast. Thank you all for joining me for another really awesome episode. We have worked with this gentleman for a really long time, but have never had a chance to talk to him before. So really, really excited to have on our next guest. But as always, I do want to make a couple of announcements before I do get into the nitty-gritty here. The first one being, I am really happy that I, the first interview that I did today, because I've done a couple podcasts, it was pouring rain. And now it is no longer doing that. I have a nice view of Dallas, and I'm sitting next to my lovely partner in crime, Mr. Ryan Hicks, who is not going to be on the podcast, but he is cheering in the background here. So I'm really happy to have to be here and to be able to spend some time with him. Another announcement that I do have, of course, that Springboard is on this year, folks. It is going to be live and in person September 26th to 28th in Philadelphia. So please go to franchisespringboard.com to learn a little bit more about that. I'm super excited to have my favorite conference back. I haven't been and had a Philly cheesesteak in Philly for about a year and a half now, so my fix is due. So really excited for that. Additionally, we are going to be doing another really big podcast tour. We are not getting a bus this time, folks. I know you were all thinking, are you going to get a bus with your faces on it again? We are not doing that. But we are going to be going on a 2.5 week tour of the West Coast. It is going to be to Arizona, California, Utah, Colorado, and Nevada. So if you are in any of those states and you are looking to actually have us come into your office and interview you, I promise that we are both vaccinated and ready to roll. So let us know if you guys are looking to do that. That is going to be June 7th to June 24th. So please reach out to both Ryan or myself at Ryan at Modern Business or Zach at Modern Business. And we'd be happy to get that scheduled. Lastly, the reason I am in Dallas is for franchise tailgates. If you are looking to check out one of those, the next one that's going to be happening is in Scottsdale. So it's going to be May 13th at the Valley Ho Hotel in Scottsdale with a 1 month following in Denver on June 9th. So if you do want to learn a little bit more about that, please go to franchisetailgate.com. You know, Ryan and myself and many others have done a lot of work to try and see all of you guys live and in person again. Now that I'm safe and ready to do that, I am gallivanting across the country, and I hope to see all of you guys there. All right, folks. Well, really excited for this next interview. I have the really awesome story of a brand that I have been affiliated with for quite a long time now. But of course, I'm lucky to be able to have the CEO and president on the line with us of Donatos. I have Tom Krause here with me today. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Zach. How are you?
Really good. Really happy that I have a chance to have you on here. You know, I wanna start with how I always like to start, and I hear that you do give a pretty legendary history lesson on Donatos, and there is quite a history to it. So I'd love to just start with a little bit of an intro of yourself, and you know, a little bit about the brand and how you got involved.
Sure. How much time do we have? 2 hours, 3 hours, something like that? No.
Well, but these typically go about 30 to 45 minutes, but we'll take as long as you want.
Well, it's a 58 year history, so
yes.
I'll make it brief, though. So Donatos started 58 years ago on the south side of Columbus, Ohio, by my father-in-law, Jim Grody. Jim, as a young man, he was probably 12 or 13 when he first started working, and he got a job in a pizza shop, and he was washing pizza pans and kind of this young, impressionable lad. And he worked for these two partners. They both owned the pizza shop. And the reason I bring them up is they had two very different approaches to business and life, frankly. One of them was this really fun-loving, people-loving person. The other was a bit of a kind of a miser, kind of a he would water down the sauce at the end of the night just so he could make two more pizzas with the same amount of sauce, or he might even dip into the cash register at the end of the night and go down to the local bar and impress the ladies, kind of a thing. So, you know, here's Jim, who's this young lad, young Catholic boy, watching this these two approaches. And what he noticed was that when the one gentleman worked, who loved people, loved customers, and loved his business, was significantly better than the nights when the other gentleman worked. And the reason I bring this up is this is one of a number of lessons that Jim learned that kind of guided him into the future and even today to kind of cement this culture that we have with the company. He said, someday I want to go into business, but I want to do it the right way. And he saw the way the one gentleman operated, and that wasn't the way he was going to do business. Anyway, long story short, he ends up having an opportunity to buy this pizza shop when he's in high school still. And he tries wow. to, he comes home. He says to his dad, "Hey, I can buy the pizza shop and it only costs this much. And now I got to play football on the high school football team Friday night. So you guys can run it on Friday." And his dad's like, "Well, no." First of all, his dad said, "Jim, this pizza thing is a fad, so it isn't going to last anyway. And secondly, you probably ought to finish your high school education." So, of course, Jim ends up not buying the pizza shop. But 2 years later, he's a sophomore in college. He gets another opportunity, and he ends up borrowing the money from his father and his future father-in-law and buys the name Donato's and the recipe from a gentleman on the south side of Columbus, and starts this pizza shop in the front of a plumbing shop that his father-in-law owned. It was only about 700 square feet, I want to say. It was this tiny little space. And he was out in the neighborhoods and working with little league teams and talking to people. And he built this business, and the pizza was just the same as it is today, was this great tasting pizza that people really hadn't ever experienced, and his business just boomed. And at the end of the night, he would, be dog tired, sitting on the front step of the pizza shop, staring across the street at this empty lot, and he just dreamed of building this big Donato's pizza restaurant. And he had it all pictured in his mind, and sure enough, within the year, he ended up building this bigger pizza shop right on the south side of Columbus that looked exactly the way he had pictured it in his head. Eventually, he bought the house behind it, directly behind it, and started to raise his family. And so he had the best pizza shop in Columbus, with living in the house behind, and customers would come. And if their pizza wasn't ready, they'd write BAG on the back of the bag or on the pizza box, which meant back at Grody's. And he'd send the customers back to his house, and they'd sit in the living room and hang out with, his Jim's wife and kids. And, that was just kind of the way things were down there. They were part of the community, and that customers knew the family, and the family knew the customers, and it was kind of this really special, magical moment. Well, that ends up, becoming something that they realize there's something to this. It wasn't a fad after all. And so he ended up opening two more restaurants in Columbus, and he learned his first big lesson, which was, if you don't have the systems for a consistent product, you can't really grow and be successful. And he would have customers call and say, "Hey, Red," they called him Red. He had red hair. Still kind of has red hair. It's a little more gray now, but they'd say, "Red, I called your pizza shop on the east side, and they ran out of pepperoni, so they put salami on it," or, did this or did that, and it just drove them crazy. So he closed both of those shops, and he vowed to never grow again unless he could have a consistent product. And that led him to lots of kind of inventions. And one of the inventions he had was a pepperoni slicing machine that he developed in his mind. He didn't have a college education, wasn't an engineering didn't have an engineering degree, but he invented this concept in his mind to slice pepperoni sticks. They were still slicing pepperoni with a paring knife, you know, a long stick.
Wow.
They put it on pizza, and that drove them crazy because half the time, you know, it was too thin. The other half was too thick. It just wasn't consistent. So he ended up, it took him a few years, but he ended up developing this equipment. It never actually worked for the restaurant industry, but he ended up selling it to Tony's Pizza, frozen pizza manufacturer in Kansas, and really spawned a whole nother business that he has, Grody Manufacturing, where they produce slicing and depositing equipment for the food service business. And they're about a $60 million worldwide company that really just kind of popped out of his head out of a need. And we can talk later about my father-in-law, because he's an amazing person, but he obviously is the basis for a lot of what we stand for today. Consistency, innovation, treating others the way you want to be treated. These were all his principles. And so that really was kind of the next phase. And then we began to grow. We grew, I think we had 20 some restaurants by the early 90s, I want to say. Huh. So I can keep going.
It's quite a history. It's quite a history, because I think that there is obviously lots of really interesting twists and turns to the Donato's history. You know, you guys obviously have had, you know, a lot of really big and exciting things happen. You guys have had, there's obviously family affiliated with it in many different ways, just very similar to me. And so I think that there's just a lot to discuss. And obviously, you know, you guys have been around the franchise space for quite a while, which is always really awesome to see. So, you know, it's nice that you had the ability to kind of share that, because, you know, you guys have a lot of things that really make you unique. I mean, the restaurant space, and especially in the pizza space, is not a fad, as we obviously all would find out later. You know, you guys have a lot of things that make you quite different. So, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to kind of go into a couple of those differentiators that you guys have, because I think that there's quite a few. So I think that that's where I'd love to keep going.
Yeah. Well, I think probably the one of the big differentiators is the product itself. So we are, our heritage is around a thin crust product with toppings that are a lot of toppings on the pizza. It goes all the way to the edge, called edge to edge. So it's not that we don't have a dough ring. It's Jim likes to call it 100% pizza. If you're get a large pepperoni pizza, you're going to have 100 pieces of pepperoni on it. And it was his philosophy that if you ordered a pepperoni pizza, shouldn't every bite have a pepperoni in it? Otherwise, you should have ordered a half cheese, half pepperoni. So it's about a lot of toppings. Always been about fresh, nutritional, good for you. We slice our vegetables fresh every day in the restaurant. We take great care of the nutritional content, like way before it became popular too. We eliminated trans fats long before other people had out of the crust. We've introduced gluten-free ahead of the marketplace. We had low-carb options. We have always kind of looked forward in terms of the product itself. So the way we cut it is different. We cut it in squares. That allows – there's so many toppings that if it were big, large triangles, all the toppings would fall off. So it allows you to keep all the toppings on. It's also great for kids. And it's also a fun way to just share. So, you know, people come together around pizza, and the party cut is one way to do that. So I think our product has always been one part. We have unique crusts, like I said, gluten-free, thin. We have a cauliflower crust that is just fantastic and has really taken off. So we have started with Jim, but we have a menu team now that continues to always look for innovations. And we like to be first in the market, but we also would rather be the best. If that means not being first, but being the best and following the trends, that's what we'll do as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I love to hear that, because I think that it seems like that you guys obviously have a rich history of menu innovation well before it was a popular phrase, or that was even a phrase at all, right? I think that is one thing to note, is that that has always been part of the heritage of your brand, as you guys have tried things. And as things have come along, like, I know that you guys have been doing stuff with the cauliflower crust, as you just said, and I know that there's been you guys have been doing some stuff with some plant-based sausage and all that. You know, there's a lot of really cool things you've done on the menu innovation side. Before we continue, I want to take a break to talk about my friends from Scorpion. It's an obvious fact that customers are spending more and more time online than ever before, especially with the pandemic. With social media, Google search, YouTube, apps, mobile versus desktop, email, everything in between, people just seem to have way more places that they have to try and acquire customers. And it's just definitely not that easy. Marketing seems to have just gotten way more disconnected, and there's just spreadsheets upon spreadsheets for absolutely everything. With Scorpion, you have the ability to get rid of all of those pains and go to a digital marketing company that helps franchise brands and their franchisees get out of the weeds of digital marketing. With an awesome combo of technology and best-in-class people, Scorpion connects all of your marketing dots to provide clear, personalized plans that are measured against the one thing your franchisees care most about: revenue growth. Finally, a cohesive brand-approved strategy for all of your franchisees that ties together everything and everything and tells a clear story about business growth and what your franchisees need to do to reach and exceed their goals. Best of all, no more spreadsheets. To learn a little bit more about Scorpion, please go to scorpion.co/MB. That's scorpion.co/MB. My question to you is that, were there any types of menu innovations that you guys came up with that stemmed from the pandemic in any such way that you found? Because I'm sure that certain things delivered better than others, and maybe it gave you an opportunity to try something that you never had just because of really, you know, the situation we were in. Was there, you know, any types of menu innovations that you can recall in the past year or so that really took off based off of the fact that we were all sitting at home all day and all night?
Yeah, that's a great question, because what we saw immediately is that people were, a big part of their way to feed themselves was getting food delivered. And so they were looking for more healthier options. We saw more salads being ordered. We saw that because they were relying so much on us as a part of their overall diet, they wanted a little more balance. So that's really where the whole cauliflower thing came to a whole nother level. We realized that part of our business really took off. So we ended up, like you said, we introduced the plant-based sausage. We also introduced a cauliflower wings that are like buffalo wings, but they're made with cauliflower, which was just right up their alley. We introduced yet another cauliflower pizza that had fresh spinach on it, tomatoes. It was just, we just saw this kind of desire to have, you know, some healthier options that go along with the things that they normally order. Our average check went up about $3 just because people were, you know, that was their way. They were having dinner for the family, was ordering pizza.
How interesting. It's interesting to see like how when things change and consumer tastes are forced to change and consumer dining habits and consumption just have differed just because of the situation that we're in, you know, what they order is different completely. So I just figured that it was worth asking. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of consumer confidence in what you guys have been up to in the past year or two. Pizza, it's no secret that pizza did and performed incredibly well. And so did chicken wings. And you guys happen to have both of those on your menu in a very, very prominent way.
Exactly.
So I would say that you had one hell of a year. And I think that was evidenced in some of the growth that you had. I mean, I'm seeing here that you had 10 new openings that you guys had, and they're, you know, were record sales across the board. It's not surprising to hear that because of what you were doing. Was there anything else that you could attribute to that? Was there any, you know, non-traditional growth you guys were doing that, you know, made it that helped a little bit just to get you guys seen more at all?
Yeah. Well, I'll actually hit on two things that kind of going back to some of the things that were at least highlighted during the pandemic. One was our operating system, and there's a level of innovation in how we produce the product that makes it, number one, really simple for a pizza restaurant operator And secondly, it allows us to produce significantly more pizzas per minute than any of our competitors. And we call it the GPS, which is the Grody pizza system, after Jim Grody, our founder. And, you know, we weigh our toppings to a hundredth of a pound on scales. We have ovens that are timed precisely for the thickness and the amount of toppings that come through. We have the pizzas are pre, you know, pre-cut shells that come into the store. So the reason I bring that up is our volumes, the pressure on the business because of the pandemic went up, and we had improved the speed of our ovens, and we relied on this GPS system to produce significantly higher volume of pizzas. You know, it's not a sexy innovation, but boy, when you're able to put out a lot more product, you get it to the customer much quicker. You're able to handle all the demand. That was one. We pivoted to call ahead pickup, and in many cases made a lot of changes to our online ordering system. That went up significantly. So there were a couple of innovations that, when pressured by the demand from the pandemic, really started to take off. In terms of your other question on awareness and growth, this pizza system I'm talking about allows also for us to produce pizza in a small footprint. So we can put our operating system within, not just in the back of our pizza shops, but where else can we operate? And we have a partnership with Red Robin Gourmet Burgers, where we're able to put a very small version of our back of the house right directly in their back of the house. And there's on the menu at Red Robin, you fold open that, you know, that second sheet, and there's a whole panel that allows customers to order Donato's pizza. And it's Donato's brand. It's a smaller version of our menu, but that partnership really started to take off. We had a little over 50 or 60 Red Robins, they call them nests, that were open in 2020. And this year, we're going to open another 120 or so and continue to expand across the U.S.
Wow. Pretty big plans. And obviously being an affiliation with the brand like Red Robin, and to be able to be in more places at once, and almost kind of, it's a location within a location, kind of turned on its head, which I think is pretty cool, which is a pretty cool opportunity because, you know, for in a non-traditional growth sense, I've been seeing it a lot in all of the restaurant trades, and been reading about how people, because the only places where people were going were grocery stores, there's been concepts that decided to open up, you know, to open up a location within a location, so to speak, and non-traditional growth into airports and such was so hard because people weren't traveling. And so it's just another way to be somewhere. It's almost like it's a ghost kitchen, except it's a brand that actually has that actually has a reputation, which I think is a really great thing.
A reputation, a story, a history, a philosophy. It's not, you know, consumers get a little cynical when they feel like they're being tricked by somebody. So to have an authentic brand that has a history and a philosophy and family ownership, you know, we're a family owned company that's really putting all of our profits back into our business and back to our people. So it feels right for a lot of consumers. And as you know, consumers today, they want to know who they're doing business with. It's not just good enough that the product or the price is right. It needs to feel right. They need to feel good about the company. And I'm ever thankful that my father-in-law founded this company based on principles, because as I told him, I said, "Hey, you did that not thinking that that would be something that would be popular for consumers. You just did it because it was the right thing to do." Well, now people really, they want to do business with companies like this. So I'm always proud of him and proud of our company for that.
No, absolutely. And I would be too. And I also do understand, of course, the trials and tribulations that are associated with working with family. There are many ups and downs, but in the long run, it is certainly incredibly rewarding. And, you know, he did start this reputation of menu innovation, as we've discussed, but also with just innovation of the brand. And I know you talked about your operating system and how integral that is to the way that you, guys are operating, so to speak. Is there any other technology that's worth mentioning that really allow you guys to gain an edge? That's a really big part, but is there anything else that you guys are doing to try and engage with new customers potentially, or anything like that, that has really helped you all?
Yeah, there are a lot of different things. He developed having pickup windows at Donato's years ago before anybody else was doing that. Not now, I read where a number of pizza chains are seeing the value of that. But in terms of today, one big one is using data and artificial intelligence or machine learning to help us either detect when there are anomalies within our business, or if we have customers, we can predict when we might lose a customer for whatever reason. We're able to reach back out to them and get them to come back before they make this decision to not come back. It's fascinating stuff with algorithms and things that are beyond my comprehension, but mm-hmm. it's taking the data that we have, because we have our own, we build our own point of sale system. So we have our own data. We use that data to be able to interact with our customers. We have a loyalty program that allows us to give people the kinds of offers that they deem fit, that they like, and we're able to take that information and help our operations team as well. So I think there's a big area in data that we're working on. The other is we're testing some AI calls, call services. So, labor, as you're probably reading today, more than ever is a huge challenge for the restaurant industry. So having enough staff, sometimes, one of our restaurants will get, hit hard and just not have enough staff to do the work. Well, we've got some technology solutions. Number one, to answer the phones through AI voice recognition. And then secondly, on the other end, to be able to dispatch third-party delivery to be able to kind of infill as we're maybe hit hard with sales, but we don't have enough drivers. So we're using technology to kind of help us troubleshoot through difficult, high demand times. Those are probably some of the big ones. We're obviously working on automation in the kitchen. My father-in-law actually has an entire innovation center called the Edge Innovation Hub, where he is still actively involved in how can we make things move quicker, cheaper, and better quality. He's started when he was just a young kid, and he'll go to the very end trying to do that. And so we have a relationship with the Edge Innovation Hub, where we're working with them to look for ways to take away some of the repetitive, difficult tasks within the restaurant, not to replace jobs, but to allow people to train up so they can be paid more and be more in managerial positions versus more kind of production level systems. So there's a lot of things we're working on that are under the cloak of secrecy right now, but I can tell you,
yes,
making progress on that. So.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss, and obviously a lot to talk about, and a lot to be excited about too. And there's two more questions I want to ask. The first one being, you did hit on something that is quite a trend in the restaurant space right now, which is finding employees and trying to figure out a way to motivate them. Quite frankly, right? Because you guys didn't have as many issues as many others in the restaurant space, luckily, just based off of what was on your menu, as we discussed. And it allowed you guys to get pretty creative, which is a good thing, but you still had to get people to actually staff the locations, right? And that was pretty hard during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so, is there anything that you guys are doing to try and help to motivate folks? Is there something that, because I know you guys have quite a people first approach, is there, anything that you guys did that, is worth celebrating at all that you did during the pandemic that was kind of a fun idea at all?
Well, for sure. We, we definitely connected immediately with our people. One thing we did right off the bat was make sure that they knew that we were in this together. Within 2 hours after the governors were closing dining rooms, we had a system-wide conference with everybody, and I spoke to them directly about, here's what we know, here's what we don't know, here's what we're doing, here's how we're going to help you. We ended up increasing pay for everybody, and we were able to kind of just keep people connected. So I don't know how innovative it is, but we were trying to just be, you know, for a family business, and we have a family feel, is step up like a family would, communicate to everybody, give them additional pay for dealing with the complexities of all of this. We celebrated in safe ways by delivering gifts and all sorts of fun out to the restaurants. All of our home office people would put their gloves and masks on and deliver candy and gifts and things like that, just to keep people's spirits high. And then some of the things that the technology things I was telling you about, we implemented so that we could ease the pressure for them. We put in all new ovens in all of our company-owned stores that were brand new and had a faster production speed, which made it easier for them. So make it easier for them, communicate with them directly, show them how much we love them, and just kind of be like a family is probably the main things we did to try to help.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that that's the most important thing to hear is that you guys really, you know, saw the fact that you were a family-owned business and you kind of widened that family to everybody that, you know, had Donato's across their chest, right? And I think that, or across their sleeve, either which way. I think that that's a really important aspect to hear. And so, you know, in closing here, Tom, I do want to ask one more question just about any other exciting things that you guys are up to. I know we went through a lot of them, but is there any other major plans that we didn't hit on that you guys have going for the rest of this year that are worth talking about?
Well, probably the biggest news that we have is we have made this is where the drum roll comes in. We made the announcement that we are franchising nationwide. And this is the first time we've been able to do this in our 58-year history. And the reason that we're able to do that is, you know, we have so many specific recipe items that makes our pizza so great. We don't use a lot of stock, you know, food products. They're very customized. The challenge is it's hard to go all the way across the country because you've got to fill trucks of food. And now with the Red Robin expansion, we're able to be in distribution centers across the country. And so now if somebody wants to franchise and they're in Idaho or Utah or wherever, we're able to accommodate that. So this has been kind of a big announcement. We've gotten a lot of interest from a lot of people across the country who are interested in franchising with us. That's probably the biggest news we've had in a long, long time, but everybody's excited. It's a lot of opportunities. People are securing territories now. So it's, I wouldn't call it a land grab, but people are very excited and are driving towards opening a Donato's in the town that they love. So we're excited about that.
Well, I love to hear that. I think that that's definitely a great way to end. You guys may be having Donato's and the Edge Pizza coming to an area near you. So that's pretty awesome. That's where can people go to learn a little bit more about Donato's if they're interested in exploring the franchise opportunity?
Just come to Donato's.com. There's a franchising tab right there. Has a kind of a quick fact sheet about what we're all about, and then a process that if you're interested, it's a real easy process that you follow, and it's predominantly online. And then one of the members of our team will get in touch with you and we'll talk about if this is the right match for you and right match for us. But we're definitely taking all calls. Let's put it that way.
Well, I love to hear it. Folks, you heard the man, definitely go and check it out at Donato's.com if you guys are looking to learn a little bit more about the franchise opportunity. Tom, really appreciate the time today. Had a really great time getting a chance to learn a little bit more about the brand and the long and storied history Looking forward to seeing all the awesome things you guys have on the docket come to fruition. And of course, we really appreciate you coming on the episode with us today too.
Well, Zach, I appreciate what you and Ryan are doing. You guys are doing a great job, and we love it. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Well, folks, thanks again for listening to another really awesome episode. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about some of the other awesome guests that we've had on aside from Tom, please go to Modern Business anywhere that you listen to podcasts, and please click subscribe. Thanks again, everybody, and have a great weekend. Cheers.